From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 8th of May, 2009. Leading off, another reminder that the Tucson Roller Derby has a bout coming up tomorrow night at Blade World here in Tucson, with the Iron Curtain going up against the Vice Squad. More information at TucsonRollerDerby.com. And some of you have been asking me about Charles Coughlin, the infamously racist radio priest of the 1930s, who got booted from many radio stations after a post-Kristallnacht broadcast in November 1938 in which he claimed the Bolshevik Russian Revolution was financed by Jewish bankers in New York City. I referenced Coughlin's broadcast and his getting booted from both WMCA and WINS in New York for them on my Monday and Tuesday programs. I have put those November 1938 broadcasts, including the air check of the original WMCA broadcast in which even the utility announcer had to voice his objections, up on my Podbean.com page this afternoon, along with the May 8, 1945 production, 64 years ago tonight, of Norman Corwin's On a Note of Triumph to Wash Your Ears Out With. The Coughlin programs will be up for only the weekend, as they are disgustingly anti-Semitic, and while I think it's necessary to know exactly what it is that we're being critical of here, I also don't want to give them any more distribution than absolutely necessary. The URL to get them at is King David with an E, KINGDAEVID.podbean.com today. The Republithug-dominated Oklahoma House has approved a resolution calling for Oklahoma to secede from the United States of America. This not very long after Texas Governor Goodhair Rick Perry made comments at the teabagging parties in that state to the erroneous effect that Texas had been given the right to secede when it joined the Union. The right Texas had actually been given was to split itself into five separate states, not to quit the country. But Perry's a Texas Republithug, so what else is new? By the way, the Perry comments were made back on the 15th of April. On the 17th, Mark Evanier blogged about it on newsfromme.com and closed with the question, "While we're at it, could we please do something to piss off Florida?" No grudges held, Mark? The Daily Telegraph in London has some interesting information about British politicians' expense accounts. Home Secretary Jackie Smith tapped the public till for a couple of smut videos that her husband watched. The current Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, used to be the Treasury Minister and, during that period, paid his brother about $9,800 for an office cleaning bill, which I assume was not related to Mr. Smith's porn video usage. I also assume that Mr. Smith's porn videos were not quite as expensive as Mr. Brown's office cleaning job. And all of this doesn't even touch upon the wealthy conservative MP who billed the public for a 10-pound sack of horse manure, allegedly for his country retreat, although being a Tory, he could have easily used it for his next piece of legislation. 17-year-old Tyler Frost of Findlay, Ohio, plans on taking his girlfriend to her senior prom tomorrow night. Normally, that wouldn't be news. But in Mr. Frost's case, if he does that, he'll be suspended from his high school. The girlfriend goes to the public high school in Findlay, while Mr. Frost goes to something called Heritage Christian School, a fundamentalist Baptist outfit that forbids its students to dance, listen to rock music, hold hands, or kiss. Tim England, the principal at Heritage Christian, is publicly threatening to suspend Frost and bar him from his graduation ceremony later this month if he merely shows up at Findlay High School's dance, and expel Mr. Frost if he becomes involved in alcohol or sex as a result of attending Findlay's prom. Seems to me here that Tyler Frost is acting like a grown-up, and Tim England is the spoiled brat. Obituaries today include one for a movie actor named Mickey Carroll. You may not know the name, but you've seen him dozens of times. He was the violin-playing town crier Munchkin in The Wizard of Oz back in 1939. Natural causes in Crestwood, Missouri, at the age of 89. And we lost a DiMaggio this morning. Dominic DiMaggio played in his brother's Unavoidable Shadow, but Dom was a good enough player himself that some believe had he been given a different last name, he'd already have been in the Hall of Fame at Cooperstown. Center fielder for the Boston Red Sox, perennial All-Star, nicknamed the Little Professor because he wore eyeglasses on the field when few ball players did. His career batting average was .298, and he had four seasons wherein he battled .300. Dom DiMaggio had been ill in recent months, according to his wife. When the end came this morning, he was 92 years old. And if you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one more thing today. It is the worst nightmare of every school child. You are made to sing a song in front of an important visitor, but nerves mean the words just do not come. Even more of a nightmare if that visitor happens to be Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, who cultivates a rather fearsome tough guy image at home and has raised hackles in the West with his assertive foreign policy. Katya Kazakova, a pupil at a boarding school in Moscow for the Daughters of Russia's military, looked like her day was ruined when her voice lost all contact with the music in a rendition of a wartime song in front of Mr. Putin. But luckily for Katya, Mr. Putin had cast aside his tough image and rescued her by joining her in a duet of the World War II song, The Dugout. The fire is pulsing in a cramped stove. The resin on the firewood is like a tear. And in a dugout, an accordion is singing about your smile and your eyes. Mr. Putin sang in Russian, showing a surprisingly soft and melodious voice. Mr. Putin had earlier shown his good mood ahead of Saturday's holiday to celebrate the Soviet victory in World War II by drawing a smiley face on the classroom whiteboard. Well, as long as he's in a good mood, I guess. Of course, if you don't like this news, you'll always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until Monday, have yourselves some peace and oranges.